Good morning, everyone. So often we say that and we're in the afternoon. But I'm kind of glad we meet in the afternoon. A lot of people maybe don't like to get up in the morning and come to church, do they? We have 150 attending here, and it doesn't look like anywhere near that this morning. So I hope they don't wake up and say, I forgot, from rushing in here a little bit later or toward the end. So today is a little bit unusual time-wise in our start, and next week it will be 1:30. We'll be back to our regular time. Well, rather than a sermonette or Bible study that we occasionally have, I wanted to give you an update during the sermonette time on the General Conference of Elders in Cincinnati, which takes place once each year. The General Conference of Elders is when most of the elders, most of the ministers in the United Church of God from around the world come together in Cincinnati, where our home office is, to promote unity in the work and in the church, develop closer friendships among the ministers and wives who are there, to discuss the work of the church that God has called us to do, and specifically, the elders, all elders in the church of the United Church of God, are involved in approving those plans. I think you understand that when we formed and united 6 years ago now with those elders who came together who wanted to continue in the truth once delivered to the saints, we formed in a way that every elder in the church has a part in looking at the plans for the next year. And we're also supposed to, as elders in the church, make those plans available to you each year so that you know what is going to be coming up. And I can't remember if I did that adequately here or not. I think I was gone. But normally what we're supposed to do as pastors is let you know ahead of time what the budget is going to be. You can look at it. You can take a look at the operation plan for the next year that is going to be balloted on by all of the elders. You can take a look at the strategic plan, the operation plan, and the budget for the next year for our church ahead of time. And so we also encourage elders to give their input or thoughts on those things. But then it comes down to the elders who represent the congregations worldwide will actually ballot for or against approval of the new budget for the next year, which is really the plans that the church has for taking the truth to the world and the plans for growth within the congregations. And I'm going to tell you more about some of the specifics on that as I move along here. So there were several hundred elders who were there from all over the world. Every elder from internationally was there. In other words, from all of the countries around the world that we decided this year to help them. We in America, because God has blessed us so very much in America with prosperity and wealth, just as when Mr. Armstrong was beginning and the church grew, Mr. Armstrong always reached out and would help subsidize some of the areas around the world that were more poor or just struggling or getting started. So United is doing the same thing. So we helped to bring in all of the ministers from around the world to United, because a lot of them are a long ways away, and there are sometimes only one minister in a country like the Philippines, one minister there, full-time employed, serving, representing United down there, and they get lonely and have not a lot of fellowship, so we make sure they all get in. And then most of the elders who want to in the United States can either fly there or drive. I'd like to, first of all, let you know who was elected as council members. Every year, there are four council members who will be reconsidered or replaced to be on the Council of Elders. Council of Elders, as you already know, is the governing body of the corporation, the United Church of God, and also provides the leadership for the United, let's just say the Church of God, the spiritual. I hope you understand, United Church of God is not the Bible name, it's the Church of God. United Church of God is a corporation registered under which we do the business. Our business is the work of God, preaching the gospel. The Church of God is composed of anyone who is truly converted and has the Holy Spirit of God. And the United Church of God, the corporation, exists its very purpose is to assist the Church of God in doing the work of God. So make sure we understand that and let's not get confused again so we don't stick with a corporation that is going astray, right? It isn't a corporation, but it's the spiritual body. It is the people, all of the people that God has called. And the Word of God says that very clearly. So in the United Church of God, we have the governing board called the Council of Elders, since we're a church. And every year, four members stand for re-election on that Council of Elders. That is to give other elders an opportunity and to provide balance, various reasons like that. And it is our Council of Elders that then selects the president. The president is the one who is at the home office and is responsible for the day-to-day management of our operations. And it is the chairman of the Council of Elders, those are two different men, Mr. Roy Holiday, is chairman of the Council of Elders. He's responsible for conducting the meetings in Cincinnati. He starts the meetings, he conducts the meetings. He's the chairman of the Council of Elders and the chairman of the General Conference of Elders, we call it the GCE. And Mr. McCullough is president, responsible for, as I mentioned, the management of the office and the day-to-day operations of the church. This year, I'll begin with the council members. Several were re-elected. Mr. Leon Walker was re-elected to be one of the international representatives on the council, since his work is totally in the Spanish areas of the world. He was re-elected to another three-year term on the Council of Elders. Mr. Victor Kubik was re-elected to the Council of Elders. Mr. Kubik is well known for his webpage, if you are into that. I mean, he'll sit there during meetings, and as things are happening, Victor is so sharp in the computer. He's sitting there updating his webpage, and he's got his digital camera, and he'll take pictures of things that are happening right during the meetings, and, well, you know what happens. Pop it on his computer, and out there in cyberspace. So, of course, United's webpage does a pretty good job of keeping up with all this as well. So Mr. Kubik, back on the Council of Elders, well known for his work also in various countries around the world. Mr. Les McCullough was re-elected for another three-year term on the Council of Elders. And a new minister, was elected to the Council of Elders, Mr. Clyde Kyle. He happens to be our regional pastor in the Northwest, living in Sacramento. And he was up here a few weeks ago speaking. And so he'll be a fine, very fine council member. And they had 3 days of meetings right after our General Conference of Elders. Also for the United Church of God, the strategic plan was approved overwhelmingly by the elders, and that is the accomplishment of our goals and our objectives, our purposes. They're laid out clearly, the approach that we will take for each year. We are continuing to try out different means and ways of preaching the gospel, and our strategic plan lays that out. The operation plan, which goes into more detail than the strategic plan, and how, and that's for that year, that we will accomplish our goals and purposes. That's the operation plan. And then the GCE also approved the new budget for the coming year, 2001-2002, overwhelmingly. And the next projected budget for United for the next year is a $17 million budget. That's last time it was $15.6 million, and Mr. Kirkpatrick, my treasurer, says that's a conservative budget, and we may go beyond that. Last year, we had an increase of about, I think it's 7 or 8%, and this new budget is an increase of only 4%, so we're playing it conservative. And that better allows you to build your reserves, and if there's more income than planned for, that's a blessing. So that was all approved. I'd like to give you a little bit of an idea of some of the presentations that were given to the ministers, some of the discussions and meetings that were held, because it's not just a business session, it's also to instruct all of the ministers in their own growth and in serving God and the brethren. There were some seminars in the evening. I'll just begin with a little booklet handout to give you an idea of what we were doing back there, conducting business. Now, we spent the Sabbath there together last Sabbath. We were all in Cincinnati, and all the local churches met together, so there were probably at least 500, 600 people there on the Sabbath. And Mr. Gary Antion gave a very inspiring split sermon. He and Dr. Ward split the messages. He gave a very inspiring sermon on the importance of supporting those who are sick or have serious, serious problems, and what God says about it in the Bible, how important it is to show love and concern and to express that in prayer. It was very, very moving. He talked about Lisa Finchel. I'll give you an update on that during the announcement period. In fact, I received an update this morning. Sometimes I don't have time to check my email Sabbath morning to see if there are announcements. But I did this morning, and there was a note from Lisa Finchel saying to me, Denny, I don't know if you checked your email Sabbath morning, but here's the latest update. I'll give you that a little bit later from Lisa's situation with her cancer. But concerning the seminars, one seminar to the ministry, and each minister could decide which of these seminars he wanted to attend, and quite a few attended this one, from a lady in the Church of God, United Church of God, named Julie Zeus. She has great expertise in working with the younger generation. Let me read what it is here. With more net genners, internet generation, I mean, this is short for, they're called net genners, more net genners than baby boomers, the net genners will become the dominant voice of the 21st century. In order to interact with them, we need to know where they're coming from. In order to prepare for the changes that they will bring, we need to understand how they think. In order to help them, we need to understand their generational strengths and weaknesses. And in order to learn from them, as Christ in Christ's example, we need to appreciate where they're coming from. This session is designed to share some of their perspectives to help everyone better interact with these energized youth. And we will contrast the X, Generation X, with the baby boomer generation. Because the world is changing because of the internet. And as you know, our young people, a lot of them are very turned on toward God and His church, but they're a different generation, and we need to understand and relate to them and learn from them. So that one, I understand it was very well attended, and everyone, I didn't get to attend that one, I chose other ones, but everyone, I did talk to find out what it was, and they came out of there all inspired and saying, man, I need to learn a lot more and get up to date on these things. Mr. Dick Thompson spoke to the entire GCE on the urgency of preaching the gospel and preparing the bride of Christ. It's right up from its inception, the United Church of God has sought to do a work and care for those whom God has called into His church. And if you know Mr. Dick Thompson, he's a dynamic speaker, always enthusiastic and a good teacher. So he gave us a really important talk on the urgency of doing this job. Mr. Dick Kubik also addressed all of the ministers and wives about the importance of the work. He called it the harvest analogy in doing the work. He said Jesus Christ outlined our commission by telling us to make disciples and to become fishers of men and be workers in the harvest. While the Father calls people to Christ and grants growth, He asks the question, what is our accountability in the harvest process? So he went through the examples in the Bible that Christ used on harvesting and showed God's part and our part as ministers in the harvesting of the crop. Good analogy. Two pastors, Mr. Darris McNeely and Robin Weber, spoke on working together to spread the gospel, what their congregations are doing locally to reach into the community. That's what some of what we want to begin to do. I want to form, I mentioned it, we've not done it yet, but form a group of you in here who would be interested, who are, let's say, have experience and interest in this area. I want to form a media committee in our congregation. Of those of you who have an interest in reaching out into our community. I think we're settling down now, stabilizing, unifying, that it is time for us as a congregation to reach our community. And Home Office will supply the entire mailing list of Good News subscribers in each city. We have over 2,000 subscribers to the Good News right here in the Seattle-Bellevue area. And now they've been reading the Good News for years. And we can use that list to send them letters or tapes from our local area here. And even have an open house and invite them to come. This type of thing. And begin to open up more in those ways. And they covered some of the details on how to do that. Mr. Bill Bradford, pastor in San Francisco, gave a talk on the urgency of preparing the bride of Christ and the importance of the ministry growing, being willing to change and grow. He said, we will take a bold look at the spiritual condition of the church and at ourselves as ministers and what we should be doing to prepare ourselves so that we can help fulfill the responsibility of preparing the bride of Christ. And it was very good. Very good. Mr. Clyde Kylo gave an excellent presentation to the entire ministry. And here's the title, Why We Need to Promote and Practice Christ-Centered Servant Leadership. And I want all of you to know that with his presentation, this attitude and approach is being officially begun in the United Church of God as a culture within the church from the top to the bottom that we will be promoting. That is, right? Clyde made it plain. He says, we're not saying that nobody's ever practiced Christ-centered servant leadership, but what we are saying is, and he explained it this way, he said, let's imagine that down on this side of a line over here, you had somebody who has just the opposite of a Christ-like attitude, and they don't serve at all. They do nothing in the church. They don't serve anybody. And down at this end, you have Jesus Christ himself and his example of attitude and service. Where would you place yourself on that line? Closer to that end, if you do very little, in the middle, or are you right up next to Christ? See, when you think of it that way, we all have a ways to go, don't we, in being exactly like Christ in attitude and servant leadership, because that's what he taught, and that's what he modeled, and that's what he lived, that's what he did. And Clyde writes, and he's right up in the little handout that was given, this session will offer a positive and an encouraging examination of how the ministry's commitment to promoting and practicing the leadership qualities of Jesus Christ, in particular the element of having the heart of a servant. Because as he pointed out when he spoke here, it is possible to serve and do things and not have the heart of a servant, doing it to be seen of men, whatever, but you've seen of others, they recognize those are not right reasons. But promoting the fact that a servant's heart serves because they love God and they love people and they want to serve. And this is a critical key to the spiritual strengthening and protecting of the church and all of our growth. So you're going to be hearing about this more and more, brethren, and it's for everyone at every level. And we do have a group right here in the Seattle church area. Will officially our name, you know, I think I mentioned that last Sabbath or Sabbath before. What do we call now? We're meeting in Bellevue. Well, we're the Seattle congregation meeting in Bellevue. That's going to be what it is. Because people say, Bellevue? You know, everybody in the world knows where Seattle is. Well, everybody, maybe not some people in China, Africa, somewhere, but the majority of people in the world know where Seattle is, especially now that they're moving to Chicago, right? That is, Boeing is, but Boeing has been especially famous even before Microsoft, because of Boeing's existence here for 85 years. Everyone basically knew where Seattle was, but they don't know where Bellevue is. I think Bellevue, unless they've lived here, been here, Bellevue, never heard of it. Maybe they will someday. So, and many of our churches are named by, say, the largest city that is nearby, and they may actually meet in a suburb or a smaller town or community. So we'll just be the Seattle congregation meeting in Bellevue. But we're going to keep working on all of these things. Mr. Roy Holiday gave a talk to the entire ministry about the physical and spiritual body. That is, he used 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul spoke about our physical body, and he says not everybody can be the head, and not everybody can be the eyes or the nose. Remember that one? And why should the, what did he say, how can the foot or whatever it is say to the head, I want to be you, you know? And sometimes that goes on with human nature and human beings, doesn't it? And as he pointed out, God created the physical body to show us the way the spiritual body should work in cooperation. Each part of the body, and we're very complex, each part of the body does its job for there to be a healthy and happy physical body. And that's the way it is spiritually. And the body parts need to work in harmony and unity together. And Mr. Don Ward, and I'm beginning to wrap it up here, Mr. Don Ward spoke prophetically on the urgency of the times. Mr. Don Ward is the editor of our publication that you receive on World News and Prophecy. So he has a lot of interest in that area. And he says, this presentation will focus on the urgency of the times as the major institutions of the world are in the greatest transition in human history. We're becoming one global economy. And as you know, there's going to be a fulfillment of prophecy when Mr. Anderson will announce them at the announcement period that from visiting from Phoenix because of the wedding tomorrow, we were chatting beforehand that, and I believe the same way he said, that God is going to keep our economy going as long as necessary for the work of the church to be done and accomplished. And when he's through with the accomplishment of his work in church in this end time age, then it's when those prophecies will happen of a collapse of our economy and the demise of America as the world superpower. And Mr. Ward says the world is becoming more dangerous by the hour. In view of the times, we need to communicate a sense of urgency and hope to the brethren and to the people that we're trying to reach in the world. A message that will encourage them to build up the hedge and stand up in the gap in the tough times that are coming. People of faith and courage, in other words, who know it's coming and are preparing for it and will be standing to serve God and finish the work. And then Mr. McCullough finished with his, where do we go from here? And so the overall theme of this presentation is the urgency of preaching the gospel of the good news of God's kingdom and preparing the church. So it was moving and motivating, and God is doing a good work. I hope we're all thankful to be a part of the work in Church of God growing and moving forward again. We're thankful for that. Thankful to see God's blessing on His church and His work, because it is moving forward. You'll be hearing from time to time all the statistics, and Mr. Peter Eddington gave an incredible presentation, PowerPoint, you know, slides showing from the computer up on the screen of the incredible growth. From our beginning, we had nothing, no literature, no new PMs, no statistics, no nothing. Well, in fact, we were kind of negative. We were down, losing people, no property, no nothing, no anything, to show the wonderful blessings of God, the growth that God is giving to United. And it's truly amazing and awesome when you see the statistics and the foundation that is being laid for a much greater work to be done in the future. So I wanted to give you that update. Brett, if you would lead us in another song, then we will continue right on with the service.